In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, it's a monster mash. Gary and Damon scare up their thoughts on the ghoulish design challenge. As the girls give three ghastly looks, the guys give their critiques. Which queens give a cackle and which makes us boo? Find out, Frightful Freaks, at COL Drag Race Tea Time, Season 11, Episode 5. Starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, Kitty Girls, it's Sunday, March 31st, 2019, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, just a little show where we get together and chit-chat about RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11. As a matter of fact, episode number 5,
aka
Monster Ball.
Monster Ball.
Not quite what everybody was initially thinking, I think, when they saw the title, but perhaps they were thinking, oh, we're going to do another Gaga tribute. Nope, not at all. Not really.
This time. No.
Could have been a better show, maybe, if we'd done that. Anyways, for those of you that don't know who I am, who we are, who it is, Shady Bitches. My name's Gary. I'm one of the co-star hostesses of this fun little gig that we do. And next to me over here is...
Hello, everyone. Damon. Oh my God, that was nice. That was a good one. That was a good one, Mr. Gary. I will. You get a little gold star for that shit right there.
Let's... Thanks.
Ding.
Yeah.
Little Shade fan, like. Because I agree. 100%.
Yeah. It's a jam-packed episode. There's so much stuff to talk about, but we're going to try to keep it brief because we ain't got, like, all day and forever to do this, so.
So, no.
Mm-mm. No. So, let's jump right into talking about the mini-challenge, shall we?
So, for today's mini-challenge, you need to transform yourself into a living doll that can be my doll's BFF. All right, ladies, you've got 20 minutes to get all dolled up. And I'll meet you on the green screen.
So the mini challenge is Rue's Living Doll BFF. Before we get into that, I almost forgot. I wanted to have a little mention about something else that we saw. So.
Oh.
All the girls get together. Yes. This moment.
Yeah, this thing.
Before Rue walks in, we announce the mini challenge. This little moment happens. Of course, everyone's having, like, fun about the whole Brangy, you know, Brooke and Vanjie, Kiki thing going on. I couldn't help but notice that Vanessa put her arm around both Plastique and Brooke in this moment. So I'm just raising the flag of awareness. There may be a thruple beginning that people are just not ready for.
Oh, girl. Like, I can't. Like, I can't. If all three of them are kind together, alert. Like,
listen to you.
My brain is going to just implode, and I don't know. I mean, the fact that we have a, like, datey, whatever we're going to call it, kind of couple going on right now that I don't think we've really seen. We've seen crushes. Jinx and oh, her name just left my head.
Remember who she had a crush on.
Yeah. Like, there was the Ivy Winters. Thank you.
Ivy, woo. Yes.
There we go. Oh, girl. Takes a minute sometimes. Exactly. Rain's not as sharp as it used to be. Well, we've seen crushes here and there, but this is kind of like a full-on, like, we've seen them kissing. They kind of hang out together. That it, you know, is something. So to then add on like another layer on top of that, like, oh, we're not just a Kai Kai together. It's a Kai 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 with like. Ooh, I don't know.
Let me see if I can encapsulate your thoughts in just one little bit.
Correct.
Yes. So we do have this moment. So, yes, Eric, we're going to get to that. One of the things that came up in the midst of the beginning of the show was this.
You have no idea how much I love this moment.
This moment made me nervous, but pleased, and then very nervous. Like,
yeah,
it, what came next, but
yes, yeah. I just thought, I was like, oh, they, like it, because it just, okay, so it kind of happens like in the show naturally. Like, did it, like they're like stay, like they're next to each other, and it just sort of happens, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's cute. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, for, you know, for lack of a better phrase, it just means nothing. Like, I mean, it's just kind of them having fun and whatever, whatever, whatever. But agree with you, Mr. Eric, and that the rest of the world, like, a lot of people lost their shit over this thing. Like, not in a good way, though. Like, that whole, like, oh, like, almost, like, grossy gag kind of thing. And I was just like, so... we could have Brangy over here, mm-hmm. Kiki, Kai Kai, and kissing over here in the tree over here, but we can't see this here. Like, two big girls, two, you know, because, you know, it's kind of, you know, apples and apples. Like,
right.
It's two queens.
But see, I think the difference is people could probably watch the other couple and potentially use it as spank bank material, but they can't see themselves spanking it to this. And I think that's really where this part of this issue is coming from for people. And I'm like, well, that's fine. So it's not your cup of tea. Like, not everybody mm-hmm. into the same thing. You know,
exactly.
as I have written on a board in here, just because you don't like ice cream, don't go around knocking it out of everyone's hands.
Fact. Like, so, like, I appreciate this moment. I'm glad we had it. I'm not a fan of the double standard and whatever that's going on. I'm glad that Silky and Nina have both on their, like, Instagrams and Facebooks and Twitters and what have you have gone out and said, like shut down the haters mm-hmm. on the double standard. So kudos to them. Because yeah. to me, and the reality is, to me, it's no different. It's just two people that happen to, like, they have a little moment. Like, now, obviously, as we, you know, we figure out this is not, there's not a, like, Nookie or Nookie, whatever one you want to use. It's like the couple name for them. It's just, it was just meant in kind of fun and cute and jest, and it's maybe right. not a thing. But on that same token, if it were, so be it. Like, if right. this was the beginning of a beautiful friendship, as it were,
right?
Then kudos to them. Like, no need to be hating.
Oh, interesting. Philip says in the live chat, there were some on Twitter that said it wasn't the fact that it was two big girls who were kissing. It was that Nina was kissing Silky because they think Silky is a terrible person.
Interesting thought. And I can't really see that either. Like, I get that we've not been, like, I will own, I've not been the biggest fan of Silky, if you've been watching this show for the past couple of weeks. Having said that, however, again, we only see what they want us to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's entirely, I'm just going to put it out there. It is entirely possible that they could be, like, getting to know her, the real her, because we know Silky put I'm going to own it right now. We know Silky puts on a show,
right?
She puts on an act. She's out there doing it. We know it's there. So maybe there's a real person there,
right?
And Nina sees that. If this were a thing, I'm just putting it out there, like,
right.
So while we can see her and we can call her terrible, so be it.
But maybe you're onto something, Damon. Maybe Nina sees that, like, that inner sweetheart that Silky really is, and that she's not always this over-the-top, loud, brash, mm-hmm. Ethel Merman-style character.
Yeah.
And therefore, Nina's like, you know what? Like, there's nothing wrong with showing her a little love. Like, you know, and it's not like they're actually mm-hmm. jumping into bed necessarily. It's just a little,
yeah.
kind of a little thing. And besides, everybody deserves a little loving. Like, even if they're not the greatest person on earth, you know, to our knowledge, Silky has not, like, done, you know, catastrophic, morally, you know, irreprehensible things. She's just annoying, you know? So, and maybe this was a way to shut her up. I don't know. Just saying. Now, this moment, this is all I'm going to say about this little thing that happens at the pre-show, or in the beginning of the episode. This facial reaction from Vanshi just killed it for me. I was like, well, we know how wide she can open her mouth, although I wish she would get rid of the gum, but that's another issue.
You know. Yeah, everyone was very loud and like, ah, screamy kind of thing going on, which was kind of cool. So were, yay for that.
They was losing their shit. They was,
yay.
They was not ready for that.
All right.
Okay. So now let's get back to the mini challenge, shall we?
So for today's mini challenge, you need to transform yourself into a living doll.
Yeah.
That can be my doll's BFF. All right, ladies, you've got 20 minutes to get all dolled up, and I'll meet you on the green screen.
Okay. So green screen is the big deal. And it's 20 minutes quick drag, not 15, and they have to turn themselves into dolls. So, that being said, mini challenge time! So, all the girls got to get themselves done up.
Yep.
So, Plastique, boring. I didn't really care for it, personally. it just wasn't my thing. Gloria Freebush. Funny, didn't expect it to win. Like, and I don't know if Nina was, like, expecting to win. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
maybe she thought this might appeal to RuPaul a little bit, but not.
Yeah. It works. It works. I like it. It was, I don't hate it. But
it was funny.
Yeah.
Flaquita? I was very confused by this.
Who is Sugar Cane?
Yes. The fact that Sugarcane pulled this out actually amused me because I was like, oh, okay, so you could be Banshee too, girl. Like, you serving up, you know, something. I don't know quite what it is, but it's different. It's kind of funny. Sticky Finger Silky. I thought this was a stretch, but funny. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, girl, you took, like, the biggest drag queen coat you got that you brought. And did some quick black duct tape. put bags of chips and stuff inside the lining. So
I got some chips.
Right. This actually, the food thing reminds me of Jasmine Masters. She revealed on the Whimsically Volatile podcast with Craig and Katya. I think it was on that podcast. She revealed about the incident with the loaf of bread. Do you remember where Rue was like, where did you get a loaf of bread?
Where did you get that bread? Where
Jasmine brought it. So when they pack and they go to the hotel, they know that, like, they're going to be sequestered. They ain't going to have no electronics. They're not going to have no connection to the outside world. So they bring books and blah, blah, blah. Jasmine brought food. She brought smoke and she brought food. She brought, I think, peanut butter and jelly and bread and, like, deli slice and cheese because she had a little fridge in her hotel room. She brought food because she knew she'd go get hungry because she would go smoke. That's where the loaf of bread came from.
I can't right now.
I was going to say, I just broke David. When I found that out, I was like, yep, that's Jasmine for you. That's Jasmine.
Because we knew why she needed the food.
Because she's going to get high. She knew she was going to get hungry.
Like, I'm going to get hungry, and craft services ain't till 2 in the morning, or 10 in the morning. Like, or 9 a.m. Shit.
Too funny. Made me laugh. So anyways, this made me think of that moment because she had this food and she stuck it, like, taped it inside of her coat. And while Rue didn't ask where she got it, notably, it's just like little bags of chips. So probably came from craft services, where I understand where Rue was like, back when Jasmine did that, she was like, where'd you get a whole loaf of bread? Like, that is not something that is just handily available here. So yes.
420, y'all. 420.
Uranium Evie, which I thought was interesting. I was like, okay, that's different. It's definitely a look. Not blowing me away. Of all the people that I thought actually got it right, but not necessarily 100% to spec, is Ariel.
Yeah.
So we get awesome Ariel. Her epitome is like Brat Stahl, like Lisa Frank. Like, it's all very like toy kind of kid poppy. So I didn't dislike this, but there was a part of me that's like, why do we think this would be RuPaul's best friend as a doll?
Because it's, I don't know, because it's Jersey and it's Michelle.
It's okay.
Because why not?
No, so I mean, like, in terms of like delivering on a concept, yes, like this yeah. is definitely, I think, a little bit in her wheelhouse. This one surprised me, Stupid Scarlet. I was like, wow, she just went for dumb.
Yep.
And to be fair, I was kind of amused by it, only because Scarlet doesn't strike me as someone who's like, she carries herself kind of like as a little hoity.
Uh-huh.
And then she does something like this that I'm kind of like, okay, so you're kind of giving me like Roxy and Jinx mixed together. Do you know what I mean? Like, very self-confident and yet willing to like be a goofball.
Yeah.
So I don't know. She might be like, this edit might be revealing that she's a little bit of a dark horse, that she might be one of the top contenders towards the end. If she doesn't really have any trip ups. Then we get Raja as star Keisha Booty La Raja.
Yeah.
I have to admit, this made me laugh, and the big drink was like the prop.
Big cup of drink.
the prop of all the props.
Like, only the big thing I wish is like she could have held it like the doll holds it, like with the hand kind of looking like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like a. Like an odd, like, because it's big enough almost that you can kind of almost barely hold it and look like you're barely holding it. It works really well. I personally, I don't say I know this girl, but I've seen something similar like this. I love the big ass and the big, you know, what have you, boot, you know, breastesses and, right. And the outfit, not the hair so much, but the outfit looks like a Barbie doll outfit.
Correct.
Like, throw like a little top, halter toppy thing, and then a denim pencil skirt, and it worked really well. So I was loving it.
Right. I agree with you. Like, if she had some clear like packing tape or something, she might have been able to put it over her hand to like, you know, keep her hand a little more straight for that, but. No, it was. It definitely was amusing. It was fun. Brooke decides to be Bachelorette Brandy, who RuPaul at one point says, "I've know her," because Brandy is the straight girl that has a bachelorette party at a gay bar and is obnoxious and annoying, and then apparently gets sick out back and then pees next to the dumpster. Yes, some of us have met this type of a person.
We've seen that one.
Yes, we've seen that one.
I've seen that.
Speaking of seeing things, I was not ready for Miss Vanjie, for her delivery. Like, this weird pose, like, with the strange face. I was like, she was really hell-bent on this was going to be her, like, still. And I was like, okay, girl.
It's one of these things I'm wondering about the edit. Because there's a part of me that's like, where she, like, they told, like, to stay still. Because, I mean, she brought her stuff, like, was she the one that brought the broken luggage on?
Yes.
Yeah. So the luggage on, and then she's kind of standing, because we don't see the luggage. I'm just saying, like, we stopped seeing the luggage.
Right.
But then, like, I'm wondering, because obviously they're on a turntable. We know that. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously going to turn. So I'm wondering if they were, like, told, like, you're going to have, when it gets here, you have to pose. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to stop and you're going to pose.
Right.
And maybe she, like, missed the mark or forgot or whatever. Because, you know, we know Vanjie's not all the way, like, the brightest crayon in the crayon box, as it were. So it was just one of these ones like, oh, okay. Like maybe she missed the mark and she was like, oh shit. Like, because right. It felt that way.
Yeah. So it was amusing. And then of course we have Akiria, who I think conceptually had a really good look. The downside was that she's not truly one-armed.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first I was like, what is the matter with her? And then I was like, oh, now I get it. So she's in prison and she got a shiv, like she got a blade under her wig. She go, cut you, bitch. And she only got one arm to do it with. But the problem is like when the turntable spins or whatever, it becomes super obvious that she has a second arm that she's just trying to hide.
Yeah.
So
I love, like, when you pull her string, she pulls a knife out of her wig. And I was like, I love that. I thought it was a perfect little weird, like,
yes,
like that's how it goes. Like, I could see the, like, the doll, like, in comes the arm, out comes the knife.
Yeah.
But, yeah, good for her. Kudos to her. Kudos to them. Okay. Agreed.
So, La Raja ends up winning as the BFF to the new RuPaul doll that was revealed. So, yay, Raja, that she ends up winning. I was pleased about that. I wanted to recognize, like, Philip says in the live chat, wrong graphic. like he says in the live chat, you know, I would have loved to see someone try to do Michelle Visage lookalike, perhaps coming off looking like Dela, meaning Ben de la Creme. That actually probably would have been a really smart move.
Mm-hmm.
If any of them were able to pull that off, because that would have been, I think, a high contender next to La Raja's,
Starkeisha.
Starkeisha booty.
Starkeisha booty La Raja.
Yeah, so
Raja.
So yeah, Raja O'Hara is the winner. She gets $1,000 gift card from Cool House Ice Cream, and I was like, "What? What the fuck is that?" So apparently, it's legitimately ice cream.
I didn't
know about this before. They're based in, I think, Culver City, California. I had to look them up because I was like, really?
Who the hell is this?
This is a thing?
Yep.
Cool House Awesome Ice Cream. For those of you that are aware around the area of Ohio of Jenny's Ice Cream, I'm guessing it's kind of like that, only maybe gayer.
That sounds really good. As I just saw like a s'mores ice cream and a, oh, come on. Come here, Scoop Shot. Stop it with the damn pop-ups. I just want to look at the ice creams.
Yeah.
Good girl.
Some people's ice cream websites flavor. Are too busy.
Yeah, I don't need all this shit. I just want, like, thank you. Thank you. Avocado sea salt. Balsamic fig and mascarpone. Shut the fuck up. Ooh, that sounds good. Beer and pretzels. So there, yeah. So brown butter, gingerbread man, candy cap mushroom. Anyway.
Yeah. So given how big Raja is, I'm not sure how long it'll take her to go through $1,000 gift card, but.
It might take a minute, and then we don't know how much it is, and they deliver and all that shit, or they ship, whatever.
Right.
So, yeah.
So who knows? So she got an interesting prize. That being said, Damon, what was your thoughts overall on the mini challenge?
So one of the things we didn't mention, yay, we got to see Trixie for a hot minute. So as you know, we mentioned in the Raja. As RuPaul has mentioned, that there's going to be queens from the previous season popping up here and there and everywhere. I'm very happy to have seen Trixie come up with this. And not only that, they allow Trixie to have fun and you know, be her, as it were. And this was the perfect challenge, considering that they were basically being living Barbie dolls. Because if everyone remembers, that's kind of what Trixie was going for with her original drag, is that she's over the top, like plastic Barbie doll kind of thing. So kudos to her and her being on the show. I'm glad they had her in there, and I'm glad that they used her properly-ish in a way.
Right.
So, yeah. Go her.
I agree. I was just trying to look. I guess I don't have a snapshot of Trixie. I swear I got one. But yeah, that was part of the fun element of surprise. Miss Trixie Martell was there. So
yay.
Mm-hmm. Yay, Trixie Martell. Interesting.
I just said fun and silly. Like, to me, that's the epitome of a good mini challenge. Like, not only is it a quick drag, but you have to deliver on a certain thing and don't take it too seriously. And in this case, Raja wins, but all she gets is the gift card, and then that's it. She don't get no strategy. She don't get no upper hand. She ain't picking nothing for nobody. She ain't charging nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's because we got a big-ass episode for the Maxi Challenge.
Yep.
You ready?
And I agree. It was fun and silly, and I'm glad we had it. I think it's always cute to do something like this.
Yeah. So here's the long intro to explain what the fuck happens this week for the Maxi Challenge.
For this week's Maxi Challenge, baby, we are throwing us a ball. But not just any old ball, darling. We are throwing a monster ball. Now, you need to scare up three lurks. First lurk, trampy trick-or-treater. You know, like naughty nurse or dirty doctor or sexy soccer mom. Second look, witch, please. You know, like broomsticks, bubbling cauldrons, and things of that nature. And for your third lurk, you need to design and create a look that serves both beauty and
face.
Category is MILF, eleganza, as in monsters I like to freak.
So keep these categories in mind when you watch the episode or we briefly look at these images, because yes. So Maxi Challenge is the runway. Everybody has to serve three looks. Two were prepared and brought with them. One they had to manufacture on site. So first category, trampy trick-or-treater, and second category, witch please, was stuff they brought. Third one, MILF eleganza, was the one they had to make. Just keep that in mind. So, Miss RuPaul is delivering Mardi Gras realness in this lovely shimmery outfit. It doesn't, for me, mean jack shit to the theme.
Of course not. Because when has RuPaul ever worn something in relation to the challenge, especially recently?
Thank you for saying especially recently, because it's been a while.
It seems to me, just as we're commentating on some shit, it seems to me that Zaldi's just like, ooh, here's a pretty fabric. Ooh, here's a random pattern of costume to make. Put it on RuPaul.
So here's something that I want to say, like, before we actually get into the Maxi Challenge, we're going to like make a left turn at Albuquerque for a moment. I've been harping on the fact that Raven is not doing RuPaul's makeup because her name, David's name, is not appearing in the credits for the episode. And having listened to the What's the Tea podcast and listening to the brand new official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast that John Pauly is hosting, and he had Raven on, I learned something that I think is kind of helping piece things together. Raven says that she is doing Rue's makeup, but what I caught was they didn't say on the RuPaul Drag Race show.
Huh.
Why is this important? Because RuPaul is actually, at the time when this was happening, in dual production. Because they were doing this, and then also the AJ and the Queen Netflix series was being created and worked on. And in some of the episodes, or I think all the episodes, it either is or isn't RuPaul Jarls. It's definitively RuPaul as a drag queen in some, if not all, the appearances.
Mm.
And so my understanding is that Raven is actually doing Rue's makeup for that Netflix series show.
Hmm.
Which makes me think that she's not double dutying it over here on Drag Race.
Ah.
That's a theory I have. Now, layer on top of that
old outfits that were created by Zaldi that were worn for the VH1 television show are reportedly making a comeback this season.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds more element to the fire as to why we may be pulling old things out of the archives, because Rue had to look, had to be able to fit into the old outfits, hence the diet reference I made previously, and she may be wearing new stuff specifically for the Netflix series that's yet to come out. So to make use of as many people as possible in various ways without, like, burning them out, maybe we're seeing some random outfits that don't match the theme specifically because actually they're older outfits, like, and they're just, like, kind of put together because it's, you just need an outfit and it's not as important as, like, maybe something else that's being worked on. Same thing with, like, being okay with other people doing the hair or the makeup, because we already talked about Hector still doing the hair. So yeah, not so Hector. Anyways, now I know I keep doing that, I don't know why, but anyways, so that's the look that we get from Rue. It's interesting, it's bright, it's flashy, it's a thing, but it is a spooky set now.
Monster Ball.
Yes. So, Trampy Trick-or-Treater. Akiri is the first one out the gate. I got nothing to complain about. I was actually highly impressed. She came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's conceptual. I get it from head to toe. It's all there. Boom. There you go, girl. No questions asked, like, for me about this. Nothing really to say about it other than I thought it the first time and I thought it the second time. The only thing I'm not a fan of is the straps.
Holding the card table?
I wished it had been like fishing line.
Or, so it wasn't as...
Yeah, so like it looked more magical, like it was just hovering there as opposed to like the cigarette candy girl kind of image that she was going for. Like,
okay. I'm going to be bad and be really honest. I totally forgot about this look.
Okay.
But I'm going to get to that
later.
Yeah. Later.
I understand. Then Vanessa says that she's bringing oh shit, it went out my head.
Victoria's Secret, thank like you. First. Yeah. Like supermodel kind of thing going.
Right. My problem is that these wings are not proportional to your body. It makes your legs look like, it makes torso look short and your legs look fat. Like, it's just, it's not working for me.
Yep.
I was like, and why would we consider this to be like, I mean, it fits the category, but like, it's a little over the top.
It's trampy.
Well, it's trampy and it's very drag, which I guess is where I'm confused a little bit on this category. It's like, okay, so is it supposed to be really draggy or really trampy?
Yes.
Right. So, speaking of plastique.
Mm-hmm.
Or as our guest judge this week, Miss Elvira, says, look, it's Lady Bunny's, like, pretty cousin or pretty sister. Yeah. I was like, oh my, that was quite the little shade.
Oh dear. Oh, look at that. That's some shade. Oh, we just passed under a tree.
Yeah.
Shade.
I honestly liked Plastique's look. The moment she walked out, it was iconic. It was recognizable. It had a silhouette. Most people know of a Playboy Bunny concept, even though they were technically vintage to, like, what, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then it kind of faded away.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was like, okay, girl, she got that going on. Scarlet Envy, a.k.a. I went to Party City and visited Sharon Needles, and this is what I got.
Ooh. It was a thing. Damn. Choices.
I wasn't impressed with it. I was like, girl, anybody could wear that. Like, could get that, wear it kind of thing. Yeah. Then we get to one of my personal favorites, and my problem is that I have Instagram, so I follow Nina West, and I saw this, and what I read was her caption is, this was the look that won me the night, and I was like, Nita won because I hadn't seen the episode yet. And so I was all excited. We'll get to that in a moment. And I honestly thought that this was like crazy, campy, like kitschy, funny. However, category is trampy trick-or-treater.
Not campy trick-or-treater?
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm going to say this now. This does not, while wonderful and fun, it is not a challenge winner make. It doesn't follow the theme. I love it. I would have loved it even more if the mouths on the breast like went opened.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for her to have like a little air pump or something, and they kind of went, you know what I mean? Or like,
I would have died if that had been the case. But whatever, it's fine. I got the general gist. But unfortunately, this is not a trampy thing. I mean, it could kind of be,
right?
But it's stretching just a little bit. Yeah. To that level. Like, if maybe she had taken the hat off and kept the wig as is, maybe it would have worked as kind of a trampy thing. But, you know, then again, on the same flip of it, I loved it because I love Little Shop of Horrors, and I immediately got the reference. And yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, there were some different things. Like, maybe she should have worn, you know, like elbow length, like, you know, satin opera gloves in the same green color to match without the plants at the end. And, you know, maybe the skirt had been higher, you know, a little more on the slutty kind of side of things. And
yeah,
I don't know, with her ass hanging out the back like Detox. Difficult to say, but difficult to say.
Ooh, but
yeah. So Raja decides to serve up sexy kitty cat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it now because we haven't quite gotten to our thoughts, but this is where my thoughts come in. I'm going to turn the microphone away just a little bit because I'm about to get loud.
Uh-oh.
Those are not thigh-high fucking boots. You fucking twat.
Yes. Fact.
100%. Was livid.
Livid. I could tell. Like, so I will say this in the nicest way I know how. Like, I don't know what you were thinking or smoking when you were like, da da da, in your commentary, you're all like, and then thigh high boots. And I was like, no, they're not. They're barely knee high. They're maybe over the knee boots, but they're not thigh high. Thigh high means it comes up to the thigh, and while yes, it's a little over the knee, it does not a thigh high boot make, honey.
No,
I'm sorry. No. I know thigh high boots. I've seen thigh high boots.
She should know better.
And yes, agreed.
If she could be shady in confessional and call out Evie and say Raja is from the Big D, meaning Dallas. And she comes from pageant, and she comes from all this stuff, and she knows. That means she should know what a fucking thigh high boot is, bitch. No.
Fact.
No. For
150.
And like, I will say it forever again. No, girl. Fuck no. Do not say in a voiceover that you were in thigh highs when you were not wearing thigh highs. Not buying it. Not today. Not ever.
Nope. No ma'am. No ham. No chicken and spam. Like, nope. Nope. No.
Speaking of nose, sugarcane.
Okay, so my thoughts essentially kind of come with this one and a few others. And it was, what were some of you thinking? So sugarcane is a trampy troll doll, and I'm not seeing any of that at all whatsoever. I think you were going with something specific And it either you were going for like you had this and you're like, oh, well, this is what I'm going to do. Or you had a concept and you weren't able to fully pull it off because you had to do three looks. Like this is not trampy. This is not trampy. Troll doll. This is very like, I don't get it. Like, if your face had been the same color a little more, if the hair had been like up, like maybe it could have worked in some way, like stretching again. But like, no offense, dear, but like the troll dolls, like back in the day, like when you were talking about them being, troll dolls came like naked, like, mm-hmm. like the little ones that you pulled out of the, like they were on pendle toppers and all that shit. I remember the trolls. I had a big thing. I was a big fan of the troll stuff for a long time. So I had a whole bunch of them. No.
Right.
This is not a troll. This is not, I don't know what this is, but this is not what you're going for. And just to be blunt and honest, if you had taken that blue suit off and gone as a trampy genie, trampy whatever, I would have bought that more than this.
Yeah, so Philip says in the live chat, should have been more of a triangular-shaped wig and a bigger gem if she was supposed to be a treasure troll. Wow. Eric says, she could have just grabbed a damn bottle and carried it out and called it a genie and I would have bought it. But then Philip says, why was her whole body blue and her face a different color? Fact. That's part of where this doesn't pull off well, because you didn't go to that level to, like, Evie oddly painted her entire body, including her taint, pink to be a jelly ship fish. Girl, the least you could do is try to match your makeup to the skin, like, of the outfit that you're wearing so you could blend in. And then, yes, I agree. This would have been more like a genie than, like, the troll doll slash Shiva whatever, you know.
Uh-huh. If you had made that wig black as opposed to blue or yellow or whatever yellow, pink, blonde, whatever it is,
right.
And done something like the genie from Aladdin, while you're not necessarily that the color is too light, I would have bought that a lot more than what you did here.
Right.
And to calculate it all you would have had to have done is like, I dream a genie, doom doom boom, and I would have been like, oh, genie, got it, that's all I got it
right. And she would have carried that off better. So I agree with you, Damon. Maybe that you're right, that there is a little something we don't know behind the scenes, that she had another outfit and then something went wrong and so she just pulled this shit together to try to make it work. Mm-hmm. Because Lord knows that's happened in the past. Have been queens who are like, I just did the best I could with what I brought, mm-hmm. and this thing, and because I had something else and it wasn't going to work. And it's like, okay. I mean, maybe she already used something somewhere else in that,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's kind of a rule about not reusing shit on the runway.
And just like I said, the whole, like, to be like some of the thing, because this isn't the only thing, just so everyone's aware, this is not the only thing I'm all like clocking on. There are a few others throughout this, monster ball,
right,
that I'm kind of like, ooh, that was a choice.
Right. So Brooklyn Heights serves up Mummy Ballerina. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. The fact that she came out on toe points the whole time shocked the judges. Did not shock me. Well, I wasn't shocked because we all knew that she had the 6 years of ballerina background, like for the ballet. Like, and she talked about it in the very first episode that she had a dead toenail that fell off or something gross. And I was just like, okay, so we get it. Like, your feet are fucked up, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so the fact that she came out and did it, it was kind of cool. And I think a lot of people lost their mind over it, but I was like, that's not that, you know.
I lost my mind. Just going to say it. Someone who did, who's about to be talking about it later.
Oh, okay. Like, I was impressed by it, but the problem is I already knew it was coming. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we didn't know about the backstory, then I would have been impressed. But because I knew about the backstory, I was kind of like, oh, okay. It's a thing. Then we have Miss Ariel. I have to admit, I was really impressed overall with this. Yes?
I don't know what that was. Oh, that's my game. What are you doing? Anyway, moving right along.
So, this is my thing. Like, I overall was impressed with this look of Ariel. It wasn't pink or purple, thank God. Like, it was actually different. Yeah. Although I was in agreement with the judges' critiques, like, the bottom of it wasn't necessary. I think none of that, like, from the waist down was needed. The white under fabric, like,
yeah.
I think, like, that red tulle should have stayed, and the rest of it, the mermaid tail fish thing, nope, just get rid of it, girl. Like,
yep.
And mm-hmm. just walk the runway, like, looking like a crazy naughty nurse
mm-hmm.
with all the syringes, and I think that would have put her, that would have ranked her up more towards the top, at least for this particular mm-hmm. category. That's the thing. Evie Oddly delivering Alaska Thunderfuck / Sharon Needles weirdness, like what you don't know what you're getting. And she pulls it off. And as was discussed from the judges' table, she is the first queen ever to put claws on her hooves, like on heels to wear on the runway. And she very much epitomized a character and delivered it. And this is the thing that I think some of the girls don't understand. A look is not enough. Like, you, the queens that get like the praise and go farther are the ones that deliver a whole story, whether mm-hmm. it's in the lip sync or it's on the runway or in the challenge.
Yeah.
Like, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Something.
Mm-hmm. Like, we find out that this was a child's costume, that she cut out the arms, like parts of the arms out so that it could fit. I think it's hilarious. I'm not a personal fan of it, but it got the whole premise. Everything worked. The concept, the character, you know, it all kind of comes together in this very fun way without being too simple or too over the top.
Right.
You know, it's sexy-ish, you know. Campy in the sense that, you know, she doesn't really have much on. I can see, and as someone who could, like I'm going to put on a campy costume, like, if she had just, like, cut it down, like, to here, to, like, give her a bit of a breastless, like, kind of look, it would have been sold for me as a campy kind of costume.
Right.
But I bet that meant losing some of the,
structure to tightness, the shoulders structure, then.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. It was different. It was definitely Evie Oddly, and deservedly so. Like, I think the judges mm-hmm. were like, okay, that's different, and it cracked them up. Like, I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
anybody pays attention, you make Rue laugh, and you're more memorable. Hint, hint for the future queens.
Hint, hint.
And then, speaking of things that are memorable, Silky Ganache comes out and delivers pink and white unicorn spangled something on the runway. I don't want to call it realness because I have an issue with this.
Next.
Well, here's my thing. Girl, where's your horn?
It's there.
I know it's there, but it matches the hair and it's like yay big. I'm like, girl, you a big girl. Got to have a big horn.
Mm-hmm.
Big unicorn, big horn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't need to be 3 feet long. Like, it doesn't need to be redunculus like a narwhal. It just needs to be there. And I was mm-hmm. disappointed. So I was like, oh, okay. That's a thing.
I just don't like this.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Interesting. In the live chat, Philip said, Evie's look was campy and trampy, while Nina's was just campy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's category one, Trampy Trick or Treater. Now, moving on to category two, which is Witch Please. Yes. So, Miss Akirio, first up. It's a thing.
Next.
Yeah, it's black. It's kind of scary-ish type thing. We're, like, using pipe cleaners. We got a bird on a branch. I don't know. It's something.
It's just so, like,
yeah,
so boring. I hate to say it, it's just so boring to me.
Yeah,
it doesn't scream. While I don't necessarily get, like, classic witch, yay for that, it just doesn't scream like out to me as like, oh, that's really awesome.
Right.
This is just kind of the same.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not even like okay for like Halloween competing in a gay bar contest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's part of my issue. Yeah. Speaking of issues, so Miss Vanessa shows up on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
The entrance was amazing. Floored me. Loved the use of the bottom of the dress as like this crazy like inverted cape thing that falls down. Not seen something like this on the runway before that I can recall, made with all these feathers. So I gave her kudos for that. The category is witch, please. This is a witch.
Well, she's in black.
She said that the fascinator was what was delivering it. I couldn't even see the fascinator on the hair. I didn't understand. I was like, okay, it's a pretty look. It just doesn't, to me, fit the theme. So
it's not a witch.
Yeah.
It's fashionable.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It's feathers. If it were like a raven like challenge, haha, I could see that going for it. But this is a witch challenge. This was a witch moment. Like, I don't necessarily get witch. I don't fully get witch, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't, it's not a bad look, and it doesn't make Vanessa look like shit. It just, I question the deliverance on the theme. But for those that, like, are questioning the queens who are delivering black, you know, designed witch looks, here's Plastique Tiara as Maleficent. Maleficent is notably a powerful being from Sleeping Beauty. I think she's referred to as a witch. However, she seems much more kind of like a dark, like kind of warlocky character to me. But I'm not that much wound up in the lore. The moment she came out, I was like, and yes, checked the boxes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes the most
sense. It worked really well. I got witch immediately. Like, I knew what she was going for. While technically Maleficent is a fairy, for those wondering, she is a dark fairy.
Right. Yeah. So I thought that was done really well. And then we get Scarlet.
What were you thinking?
Well, thank God there was a voiceover, because we found out what she was going for, what she was thinking. And as Rue has had, or as Michelle actually had to say in this episode, the fact that you had to tell the story means you failed.
Yep. Fail.
I did not understand this, but when she explained it, I got it. And then I was highly amused by it, because I was like, that was kind of shady. She's supposed to be the Fire Island, like, dick doc bitch, like, witch. I thought that was funny. I was like, she's like making shady gay culture reference and mashing it up with this look. It just doesn't. Yeah. Mm. No.
Yeah.
Hence the light on her head. And everyone pretty much online has clocked her for that nose. They were like, no, that prosthetic. No, girl. You should have you should have glued that shit down and blended it in with your actual makeup. Then it wouldn't have been so jarring.
Yeah.
In that case. Nina West comes out as an original Salem witch.
Finally. Oh, my God. Like. So, okay. So, as someone who, like, I've been watching, like this, it was like, so the category was witch, please. The minute Nina came out, I knew exactly what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And I live for it. Salem witch trial, Salem witch. The fact that she has the flames on her dress means that she's being burned at the stake. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 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 Come on.
Right. I completely agree. The moment she walked out, I was like, and here we have it.
Mm-hmm. Like,
how much more on the head could you nail this? But I also recognize, well, anyways, I'll get to that in a little bit. Moving on. Raja is apparently delivering a witch from Oz. And I say it with a question in my voice because I don't understand the judges and her and the voiceover. Because I'm like, if y'all hadn't talked about that, I would be like, oh, you just a green bitch.
Okay. So, what the fuck? Like, it, it, the, if, the Wizard of Oz, not the Witch of Oz. Like, put it, get it in your head. There was an evil witch, like the Wicked Witch of the West, and and Glinda the Good Witch of the whatever. If you're going on the original Oz, and even if you're going with, Wicked, like you're wrong.
Like, girl, you got your colors reversed. Her skin is green. Her outfit's black.
Yeah, like it just like if you had done that and done like the like a whatever like a Wicked like a green out like a green like skin change or something along those lines and done this in black, power, got it, good. Or done the opposite and did like a like if you had done this in a pinkish kind of color and did a blonde wig and then had like the big scepter and kind of like a modern version of a Glinda.
Of a black Glinda? Pink,
blue. Right. Yeah, right. Whatever. I would have probably been like, okay, I get that. That's cute.
Right.
This does not work for me.
No. You look like a backup dancer for Wicked, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you look like you're one of the chorus for the traveling Broadway show. Not delivering Witch to me, so.
Yep.
Boot.
Fact. Boot. Get that shit off me.
Sugar Cane makes a very interesting choice and decides to do Bloody Mary. Category is Witch Please. So I have mixed feelings about this because I'm not familiar with Bloody Mary, the urban legend, being a witch. I thought it was more like a spectral spirit, like a kind of like a demon type thing, not so much a witch. That said, I was really impressed with the look, however. I was like, wow, this is a thing. Like, and I kind of like it overall. I just...
Yeah. I love the idea and concept behind it. However, it does not a witch make. Like, if you're Bloody Mary, you're Bloody Mary, which was relation to, thank you, a quick Google search as I confirmed my thoughts, is Bloody Mary was Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh.
But I don't know if that's the original Bloody Mary.
Right.
There's the whole Bloody Mary, like, look in your mirror and say your name three times.
Which is what... That part. Right, which is what Sugar was imitating at the beginning. That was supposed to be a mirror that she was like breaking and crashing through, which was a little confusing because I was like, "But you didn't have any cellophane, girl? Like, you couldn't have asked the props department to go to Party City and just get you some clear cellophane, like, to make it look a little bit more like a mirror / window as opposed to like, I don't know." Anyways, Eric says in the live chat, like I said, most of these just needed some sort of pointy hat and no one would have clocked their damn looks. No explanation. I don't know about that.
I'm not going to be mean or rude, but I kind of agree. Like, I mean, not so much this one per se, but like a few of them, like the green witch bitch from like Oz, if you had put a green like witch's hat on it, I might have given you props for it.
Right.
Maybe. I'm not sure yet. I'm kind of still on the fence on that.
Yeah.
But like, okay, got it. Like, you're a Witch of Oz.
Now, sure. Granted, none of them did this because the Netflix series hadn't come out yet by the time this was recorded, end of May, beginning of June last year. But nobody did Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
True.
And that would have been hysterical. Like, I think Trixie Mattel would have pulled off.
Yeah.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch kind of look, but that's just me.
I would have loved it if someone had done, because like if you remember, so Sabrina had that very like the cartoon Archie cartoon. She had that very short like platinum blonde hair. Mm-hmm. And then like, if you put like on the like 50s kind of sweater and then like a pencil skirt and came out and then like done something like, and then all of a sudden you had all this blood on you, I would have probably been like, oh, that's the shit I would have wanted. Like, if someone was going to take it to that extreme.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. So, talking about sort of extremes. So, Brooklyn comes out as, I completely forgot the name, the Enchantress from Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I did see the Suicide Squad movie that the guest judge was actually apparently the actress who played that in the movie. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware that this character is a witch.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it, it makes sense. She's just like a supernatural witch.
Mm-hmm. So I knew what Brooklyn was going for when she kind of came out with this. Because the character in the original, like, not so much the Suicide Squad character, but the actual original character mm-hmm. is a witch. Like a sorceress, magical power, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
The way they changed it for the sake of the movie kind of made it this very weird, like, unholy, ungod, like, whatever kind right. of spiritual thing. So it worked in a sense. Mm-hmm. But, again, I don't know if she knew who the guest judge was.
Right.
If she did, like, that's a big old, like, she gets a check for that shit, gold star for that shit, because that works so well.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things. Because this was the kind of the character, the characterization they made of the Enchantress in the movie.
Right. And so I don't know if she necessarily knew about the judge. The edit makes it come across that Brooklyn did not know about the judge. And then when she found out about the judge, like she said on the main stage, she was like, oh, shit. Like, this could be good and or bad. Like, good mm-hmm. that I get recognized for it by said judge. Bad if the judge critiques me on it and doesn't think I did well or that I missed the mark or screwed something up or whatever. So, yeah. Speaking of missing the mark, Miss Ariel. I don't know what the fuck this is. I honestly don't. I got nothing.
Next.
Yep. Evie Oddly. Talk about delivering a story from beginning to end. First thing she does is walks out backwards down the entire runway. Mm-hmm. Then turns around and does the reveal for the face with the crazy white eye, the other eye covered up. She mm-hmm. pulled off what she talked about. She wanted to be a sexy witch, like a sexy kind of fashion witch, which I was like, I don't know about this. But then she pulls this out and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Not bad about it.
This I really personally love. This was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. For once, and I know she's got a fucking, like, witch's hat on, but it fucking worked.
Right.
Like, as opposed to just, like, it being, like, just a hat. Like, this concept works for me.
Right.
I like the idea that it's kind of a cutie, cute sis, you know, kind of, you know, witch, and with a little bit of odd flair.
Right.
So, like, the eye, the hair kind of being this weird thing. It all kind of worked for me. So, I am happy with this.
Right.
100%.
Yeah. Speaking of witches and... Anyways. Silky. Yeah, girl. I understand that, like, you were not ready for this challenge. And the reason I say it is because I think she made this outfit.
Mm.
That was my impression when she walked out. I was like, oh, she made this. And then I was like, wait a minute. Because remember, earlier I said the first two categories, the girls brought their looks. And then the third one, they made. Mm-hmm. This one seems like she made it. And the reason why is because it's got issues. Specifically, that hemline, that hoop, like hula hoop in the bottom of the dress. Like, it's just...
I, without getting too far, I got the idea once she came down and I knew that where she was drawing the inspiration for the character from. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was witch. I knew it was, oh God, the word just left my head. The name of the musical just left my head. Thank you. God bless it. What is up today? I got it. Like when she came in, I knew what she was going for. But this was very much a like pale comparison. Yeah. This is like bargain bin, like create, like grab, you know, thing, like you're.
The fact that they did a side-by-side to show what Evelyne looked like in The Wiz was all the more damaging, because I was like, oh, you look nothing like her.
Yeah.
Like, that was hard for me, because I was like, first of all, the dress doesn't even look anything similar. The makeup is not similar. The hair is not similar. Like, I was just like, oh, boy. So. That was a decision in that case. So, that was category two. Witch, please. Which gets us to the one that they were supposed to craft from scratch in the workroom. MILF. Monster I'd like
Monster I'd like to freak.
Yes. So. Sorry, for a moment.
Wait, I thought, isn't this the first? Oh.
You shady bitch. Wait, do you mean this one? This one.
Yeah.
This one? This one. Can you spot the difference?
It's a wig change. Woohoo.
I mean, it's kind of the same silhouette, girl. Mm-hmm. And now your branches were turned into spider legs. Mm-hmm. Girl.
I'm going to talk about this later. I know I'm going to talk about it later, but.
Okay.
What were you thinking?
Miss Vanjie. Oh. Miss Vanessi. Normally, I don't have anything to complain about your look. While I did say in the last one, it did not necessarily go with the category technically for me, this one I have problems with. This just looks like a hot mess. This kind of looks like a 20-minute like quick drag to me. I don't understand what the hell was happening. The bird is a mess. The feathers make no sense. It looks like you threw that together. And then your makeup is what is this? You're green around your neck and then it comes down, but like I don't get it. It looks like you didn't finish what you started. If your skin is green, then your skin needs to be green. And if you're supposed to be like crawling up out of the dirt and the tombstone is embedded in your head, then this makeup is supposed to look more like that. And the fact that you're wearing gloves is even more confusing. If you had glued dirt to the gloves and then onto your body some, I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to stop bitching about it because I just didn't understand it. Just saying.
Yeah.
Was a problem for me.
It was a problem. It just doesn't work.
Speaking of things that work, here's my shock face. Plastique comes out yet again in another similar silhouette that we have seen time and time and time again. Unlike Ariel, it always looks good. And notably, of the queens that had to make an outfit for the runway, I was really impressed with this presentation overall.
This all worked so fucking well. I give kudos to Plastique. This, while it is a similar silhouette to what she wears in, you know, before, the fact that the makeup, we see her makeup that she kind of does this very, she does a skull kind of overlay of her regular makeup, which works kind of really well. Mm-hmm. It's kind of creepy, but I love it. I love this look. I love the choice that she made with this. The fact that she's basically deaf. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I like. It just works so well. It's a very feminine version of it. I think if it were me, I would have wanted like a hood to kind of give the whole deaf, full-on deaf part of it. But this kind of works in a way.
Well, to be fair, the category is MILF, Monster I'd Like to Freak. And I think this is the first one we've seen where you get it. Like, dangerous yet sexy / fuckable. Like, you know, like that's part of the note for the delivery. So I think that, you know, Plastique definitely did something. And I have to agree, like Eric said in the chat, I give snaps to Plastique for actually changing up her makeup for a change. And according to the Plastique's, like, voiceover, this is actually what she started doing in drag, was this kind of dark kind of aspect of things. And I find that interesting that she returned to it, you know, for this look. It definitely helped her out, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
So, Scarlet Envy kind of gets read in the edit for this is her creation, the like swamp thing, creature from the Black Lagoon, like kind of fashion thing. I have to admit, I was not expecting much because of the edit. They led us to believe that this was going to be a train wreck. And yet, I thought it actually turned out pretty decent. Like, it wasn't horrible, but to me, it also wasn't like,
yeah,
like noteworthy winning of the episode.
So my main problem ultimately was that it's a very, obviously the dress is a, like a, no offense, it's a pattern. It's probably like a pattern that she knows. So she just sewed it and put it together, which got it. I agree with you that the edit gives this whole like idea that this is going to be awful. I mean, we saw with her on with a mask that didn't have any of the holes cut out kind of thing going. And I was very much like, is that all you're going to do? Like, we're going to do a little more than just like that, because they're probably going to be asking you to take that mask off. But then when we got it, put it all together and we see it on the runway, okay, now things make sense. Now I get Creature from the Black Lagoon, because you've added these elements to make it more like you're like a swamp thing or what have you. So,
right.
I'm not hating it. Good idea for her.
Now, I do have to give recognition. I didn't snap a screenshot of it, but the fact that Raja was like being shady about her first version that was like pinned together and falling apart, and then Scarlet bent over and Raja was like, booty hole. Raja definitely gives great, you know, confessional quips and is kind of shady. So yeah, there, but she kind of like had, she didn't eat crow, but I was like, okay, Raja, you can make fun all you want, but she did deliver something on the runway, you know? Nina West. Nina. I was not ready for this.
I wasn't either.
She came walking out with this look on her face, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I knew instantly something was off. I don't want to say not right. I just was like, there's something strange going on here. And this is why. Because she actually had a mask that was attached like up at the head, that, and then I think underneath the chin, like, had just probably like rubber cement or, you know, just a little dab of something or whatever, and she literally pulled her face off of her face and then had this like gory underface with this like crazy mush mealy mouth prosthetic thing. Girl, I was, yeah,
I was floored. I loved this so fucking much. I'm gonna stop talking because I go. You go, Nina.
Right. I was highly impressed by it. I really, you know, and so back to the category, MILF, monster I'd like to freak. Now I'm having a problem because like I'm kind of bothered by the look, and I don't mean like I dislike the look. I'm like, I don't want you coming near me to freak with me. Like, but like in terms of like a scary horror kind of look, I was like, wow, that's some nice like kind of theatrical deliverability. You know? So like, can I put a bag over your head? Like, and then we can freak, maybe? I don't know. That's the thing. So let's get back to Raja and her being critical of other people. So I don't dislike this look, but the thing I like the most about it, I hate to say this, is the fabric of the pants and also, you know, the bib top. Like it's all this kind of weird looking shaggy Chanel something or other. It kind of looks like crushed bones. I like that.
That's about it.
Yeah, the holding the snake and the horns and the blacked out eyes and the that's okay.
It's there's too many things here.
Yeah.
Like, are you a bull? Are you a, what are you? What's going on? Like, where, why is this a monster? Like, if you had been like, if you had done like a minotaur, and like put back on your hoofs and put them on your feet or what have you. And then like warn your we know you have them because you wore them for your Gemini thing, warn your hooves again and been like, oh, wow, this is a Minotaur from like Greek mythology. That's a monster. I can get it. Made it kind of sexy with the whole like cut out and whatever. Yeah. I might have gotten that a lot more.
Yeah.
But the snake thing throws me off. The makeup throws me off. And since those things throw me off, I kind of don't know what's going on and I'm left confused.
Yeah. So here's my thing. Philip said, I thought it was a spine at first, referring to the snake body that she's holding. I think here's my edits. Remove the horns, lose the snake, change the bib top into a like spaghetti strap, like swim top. Do you know what I mean? Like show off the girls, but have some fun and maybe change up the pants a little bit. Like of all the times to hang your ass out, this probably would have been it. Like even so if,
like a sap.
Yeah. Like, proper fitting chaps. but yeah, I mean, it's just like it's just not enough. And it's so kind of hodgy podgy. And I'm just no. Mr. Tumnus-esque would have worked. I don't understand Eric's reference.
It's a, like Pan, like a, Seder. Thank you. Oh,
gosh. Seder from, like Midsummer Night's Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Type oh okay. Or,
yeah, like Puck or
right maybe yeah. I don't know. Anyways, girl, be careful with delivering all your shade in a like confessionals, because yeah, you got to bring in all the runway to like have it all together.
Also so true.
Speaking of people who don't have it all together, oh sweet baby Jesus. So Sugarcane comes out in a bodysuit. I don't understand it. What is it this season with these bodysuits? These queens coming out in like wrist to ankle covered in a shiny material bodysuit thing. I'm like, is this the new thing in drag? Are we all that lazy? God forbid we actually make up ourselves, show our real body, actually have hair. It's Drag Race. You ain't getting none. You are confined. Like, there is no trade to be had. We've heard it over and over again that the crew is not available for your release. So why do you care about
why are we doing
body
this?
Hair?
What is this? Yeah. What is this? What is this? What is this?
What is this?
Is this? Like, what were you thinking? Like, I...
To quote...
Oh, my God.
Yes, as we were just actually quoting, and we'll re-quote it again, Karen from Will and Grace... Honey.
What are you doing?
What is this?
What are you doing? What's going on? Like, I hate this so much. I don't know what was going. I don't know why we have to see the crotch and the hoo-ha kind of idea behind it. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why the feathers are different. I don't know why there's feathers. Why the fuck are there feathers? I don't know why you've got demon horns and you're holding a skull. Are you... Oh, my God. Like, were you trying... like, what were you trying to do?
Okay.
Like, that's like my big thing. Like, what the fuck were you trying to do?
So, wait. Read the live chat. I'm going to tell you why I'm laughing. So, Philip and Eric are explaining to help me catch up that it's from Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But I didn't realize they were still talking about the other look. I'm thinking of this look. And I was like, okay, so Sugar fell into a wardrobe and then fell out? Like, and that's what this is?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like...
Girl...
I'm just saying, that makes more sense. She fell into a wardrobe, fell back out. This is what...
It does... It
reminds me of? I just figured it out. She is the villager from Beauty and the Beast that falls into the opera-singing wardrobe and is attacked and then comes back out. That's what this book is.
No.
I know.
I'm stressed. If I'm remembering some of her commentary... on it, I think she was supposed to be like like Bride of the Devil, which, you know, for those that don't know, if I go back to Greek mythology when I think of that, and that's Persephone, who was the taken wife of not Pluto. Oh, Hades. Good God. Anyway, sorry. Again, words are failing.
No,
it's okay. Just bothering me a lot that this was these kind of choices that were made. I don't know what the fuck she's wearing on her feet. Are those meant to be like hooves? Again, I don't get the whole shiny bodysuit part of it. I wish the shiny bodysuit were gone and we just saw your body.
Right.
I don't know if you have issues with that. I'm okay with it either way. It just seems very odd to me.
Yeah.
I don't get the ruffle whatever thing under that you're wearing up here. It all just doesn't work. I know you kind of made this, but
this reads like 45-minute quick drag to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so hodgepodge put together, like, episode one, like, make an outfit challenge.
Yeah. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And considering the things that I've seen her in, I'm a little concerned. This causes me a concern.
As she should be concerned. We'll get to that. Brooklyn Heights. Delivering Death Becomes Her meets Morticia Adams.
Wait, isn't this Witch Please?
No, this is supposed to be MILF. Monster I'd Like to Freak.
Oh, so she's supposed to be a monster.
Right. Uh-huh. That's why
I know the audio podcast won't see this, but I'm very much like I'm waiting for the next part to fall, like
right? The monster part.
Yeah, the monster part.
Yeah, because just having a snake wrapped around your neck and up into your like headpiece is not making you a monster.
Oh,
yeah. So. Here's my issue. Like I said in the chat, like when I said I'd watch Bolton, I have feelings. This is part of why I have feelings. I like this look. I don't dislike this look.
Fact.
The theme is MILF, monster I'd like to fuck. I don't understand which part of you is the monster. Like, is it the thing fact. Between your legs? Is it the fact that your booty hole sucks up everything in the universe whenever you bend over? Like, I, Brooklyn, I need more. Please explain to me which part of you is the monster, the freak part. Like, I don't, huh?
America, explain. What is this? This is not a monster. This is not a make. This is not a monster make. Oh!
I get it. You're pretty. Just. Please don't make this the season that. Anyways, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Oh, move right along.
Yes, moving along.
Mad. That makes me mad.
That makes you mad. This makes me mad. Ariel. Classic Ariel. Big hair, cotton candy colored craziness, blah, blah, blah. We knew this was going to happen. They did it in the edit. Vanessa, the girls were like, girl, that kind of looks like a mermaid, kind of looks fishy, doesn't look scary, doesn't look like a monster. Sure enough, she comes out. Okay. You look like a backup singer for a SeaWorld aquatic show thing.
Yeah.
Not a monster.
This does not a monster make. This, again, I mean, at least you're a mermaid, which if you go back to olden times, yes, mermaids were kind of seen as monster, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I got that. I get part of that.
But in that case, they were sirens and they lured the men in on the ships to crash on the rocks. And a crazier monster version would have been to be stunningly gorgeous with fucked up claws and a fucked up mouth.
Like, I would have loved it if he had, like, okay, first things first, remove the fucking cape. That would have been the first thing I would have done. Mm-hmm. Second thing, take the whole outfit out. But no, like, if you're going to wear this little, like, whatever you're wearing, then you need to have something behind it. Like, color that skin, give it some kind of, like, fish kind of like scale kind of outfit. Right. The wig gone. Or you throw some water on it and let it like just like fall down on you so that it's just this like
right.
matted, like wet, like mess.
I just
and, like I agree with you, like claws, something to kind of give it that dangerous kind of look.
Yeah. I just realized that she and Scarlet should have mashed up together.
Mm. Like,
Scarlet's witch and Ariel's MILF, because Scarlet was doing that, like, you know, sea witch thing.
Uh-huh.
Not quite delivering on it. So if Ariel had borrowed like the seaweed kind of looking drape shawl and had done more scary, maybe.
Yeah. But like the fact that you look like the hair is the wrong color for this whole kind of like MILF monster thing. The bow, the fact that you put a fucking bow in your hair. Like, come on. Like, no. Like.
Yeah.
Why?
Speaking of why, Evie Oddly, who I had high expectations for, because the edit gave us this whole thing about her being weird and strange and odd. Therefore, this would be hers to win or to lose.
When she said, like, oh, I'm going to do this, like, voodoo doll kind of thing, I was like, oh, okay. I could see that working. I can see that going that far, like, out, like, bone through the nose, like, button thing or whatever, like, straw kind of coming out of places. Like, I would have been all for that. Instead, we got this,
yeah.
Which is
a mess.
High fashion voodoo doll form monster I'd like to fuck.
It's a mess.
It's just she was trying to give glam. She says that in her during her critique. Of all the times in all the world in all of the things of Drag Race and competitions of Drag Race for you to bring glam, this was not the week for it.
It's a mess.
Period. There is no. This is. No.
It's like, a mess.
Mess? I get it. Gary, it's a fucking mess.
Here's my problem. It's MILF, all right. It's a mess I'd like to forget. #truth.
#truth. I can't with this right now. It just bothers me so much, and I'm glad Ross clocked her on it, because of all the people to like nail this challenge and knock it off the park out the park, I was expecting her to do it. And honestly, with her like first two looks, while the first one was kind of bordering on campy,
right.
What have you, I got it.
Right.
What I wanted was like, okay, that's light. Then you go to the witch, which was kind of medium, and then you go to like dark here, and like just go that just full on out, blood dripping, like something. I was expecting so much more from you, and you were not taking, like you were saying, oh, I was taking a risk by doing glam. No, bitch, you weren't. Like, they're gonna get glam all over the fucking place. You are not a glam queen. We right. know this.
Right.
So, again, of all the challenges to do
right.
something glamorous in, this was not the one to do it.
Right.
Last week, maybe. Next week, probably. Like, I don't know what's going on, but like.
Right. So, moving on. Silky Ganache.
I'm done. Like, just cut. Print, like, what the fuck over whatever this was supposed to be.
Right. The edit comes across that Silky doesn't focus, that she's more interested in talking about other people, focusing on other things than focusing on herself, or takes too long to come to a consensus of what her thing is. girl, the dream girls, the other two, were notably really focusing on their shit and, like, at least pulled something together. You, on the other hand, really, like, I don't know. I know. Yeah. I see Phillip's comment. Could she not put the horns under the wig? I know. Could she not make a proper wrap that actually covered her shoulders and the upper back so you didn't see the undergarments under the dress, which is what she got red for? Could she not, like, really make a better version of a, like, fish-tailed bottom? Anyways. And
just...
Yeah.
It... Why? God, why?
I know. I know. So, yeah. That's round three.
That?
33 looks. That's how it ends. Ooh. Damon, your thoughts overall on the runway?
You need more. Mm-hmm. You need fucking more. Like, you need to do more. You need to bring it out every single challenge, every single time. And I'm kind of getting tired of this, like, whatever this was. Like, I've been, like, saying all night, like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, what were you going for? Where was your concept? This was monster I'd like to freak. Monster I'd like to freak. So, to me, you're kind of combining the whole trampy trick-or-treater, so making something sexy out of something, like, monster-rific. Bride of Frankenstein was a perfect example of something you could have done with this and made it a monster I'd like to freak.
I just realized that Brooklyn should have swapped first and third looks.
Yes! Like, when I saw the whole, like, tissue, I mean, not tissue, but, you know, the look that she was wearing, I thought that was for this look,
right?
This challenge. I would have been all for it, and no offense, that would have been a perfect way to have ended her arc, as it were.
Right.
The first thing should have been, like you said, this should have been switched. The first thing should have been this. Because then, Trampy, I would have gotten it with the cane coming down the rock runway and, like, Trampy, va-va-voom, like, femme fatale kind of realness going. I would have gotten that point-blank period.
The problem is the look in the third category, I think you had to have created.
True.
And well, I don't know how much she created the ballerina mummy look. That might have been what she brought, and that's why she kind of got trapped the way she did. But
maybe.
So,
what about you?
So my thing is, I said pretty / impressive wins, not the unique or odd. And by that I mean, so it ends up being that Plastique and Brooklyn are the top two in terms of what they brought to the runway. And Brooklyn wins.
Again.
Yes. And I'm not like, you know, going to throw a hissy fit and stop watching this show and blah, blah, blah. But I think Plastique did better than Brooklyn.
Agreed.
And, well, I'll get to that later. That's one of my more closing thoughts. Yeah, I'll get back to my other thing. I just think this was weird how it played out. And also, notably, it was very difficult because you had to produce 33 like things on the runway. Every queen had to have three looks, technically four looks in this episode, between the mini challenge and then the maxi like runway stuff. So Brooklyn wins a $3,000 gift card from TravelGay.com. You go, girl.
They are definitely pulling out the coins for this show.
Well, and notably, all this stuff is, like, donated. So VH1 ain't spending the money. They get these, you know, prizes lined up thanks to, you know, people who want to be sponsors and promoters. So somebody's doing their wig. Their job, I mean, sorry. And get that put together. So, yeah, I mean, like, and the unique and the odd don't necessarily win. In that, you know, I feel like the things that were 100% well put together and very pretty to look at are the things that rose to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of disappointed by that. So mm-hmm. it's only disappointing me because I feel like Kooky doesn't get enough recognition.
True.
So that being the case, are you ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about this little show, shall we? Provided I, there it is.
This is not RuPaul's best friend, right?
I feel very attacked.
You're perfect. Some you're beautiful. Them.
I do not want to go home.
You just want someone to fight with.
I've had it officially.
This is Untucked. Backstage of the competition to become America's next drag superstar. Girl, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
So, Untucked actually was memorable this week. Wasn't sure it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I didn't feel like there was anything moving going into it that was really going to kind of make me go, woo, you know, and get excited in some ways or stand out. So, but I'm just going to jump in and say this. My thoughts on Untucked overall. Nina's hate crime reality and relating to today was the takeaway.
For
I was really touched that they had a discussion, and even though it bothered people to watch Nina talk while she had this face on.
Yeah.
And I noticed over time that the mouth got a little bigger. So, like, because she kept talking, like, the slit that was the mouth kept getting bigger and wider. And I thought, girl, you better be careful, because by the time you go back on a runway, your whole, like, just going to fall off.
Oh, or no. Something.
So, yeah, it was a good touching moment that she, that they retold her coming out story. Like, they'd already kind of talked about it earlier in the season, so I was a little confused as to why Scarlett's like, we haven't talked about Nina's story. And I was like, huh?
I figured it came out, actually, it was last episode where it comes out.
Right.
So I think they brought it up for the sake of rehashing.
Right. I mean,
wanted to know more.
It's good to talk about it. It's good for the message. Like, it's all good. It's just confusing to me because I was like, well, we already went over this, right? I thought we did. Maybe not. Perhaps I had a fever dream about it. No. So, I mean, it was really good. It was really touching. I'm glad that, like, Nina made it relative to today. And she talked about how we live in a climate where, you know, the trans membership of the LGBTQ community is facing shit that we were facing in the 80s and the 90s. Like, not that we're cleared of facing it by any means. It's still happening all the time. I still see news reports that come up about, you know, gay bashing and crazy things that happen. So I'm glad that Nina made it relative. Mind you, this was recorded, you know, at the beginning of June last year. So this is many months later, but she, you know, and she talked about Matthew Shepard, and there's been this online discussion about how younger queens don't know their history. And that's recent history. You know, it's only been 20 years. Well, I just caught myself. Yeah. I was like, I can't say only. I did. But in my mind, I'm like, it's only been 20 years. But the reality is that some of these queens, like, weren't really born or were so young.
Yeah.
It didn't have an impact on them. So, like, they weren't like us in college, almost the same age, if not the age that Matthew was when he was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And the, like, how that gripped the nation and really kind of, like, threw fear into our community, but also emboldened us to, like, be stronger about, like, closing rank and watching out for each other and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It was a very interesting, I like the way she made it relevant to now. You know, that really much is important.
Right.
Because, again, those who fail to remember the past are doomed to repeat it. Right. That's something that I kind of hold to in high regard in my life.
Right. So, yeah.
And to go on a completely different tangent.
Yes.
So one of the things that caught me in regards to this was the whole safe and fading kind of aspect. And I'm glad we have Akira on the screen here. And the main reason is Akira's the one that brings it up. She's kind of tired of being safe. And Nina kind of follows up with that. And she kind of agrees. There's a good to being safe to me early on. Because at least you know, like, you're doing okay. You don't have to worry about it. But I think around this time is when, like, safe starts to not be the good enough. You want to either, you don't want to be in the bottom or you want to be in the top. And I can understand why that would be a situation where you would want that. Mm-hmm. On the flip of that, Akira to me is fading away. And I'm not trying to be, well, actually I'm going to be mean about it because I'll talk about it later. But like to me, there's a beauty in safety. Raja was safe this week, whereas in, you know, last week, literally she was in the bottom. And before that, she was in the bottom again. Mm-hmm. So there's a goodness to that. There's a goodness to safety, but there's also a badness. And that's where this comes in, where like all of a sudden, like you're not doing well because you're maybe not getting critiques or criticized for what you're doing.
Right.
So you don't know how to improve.
Right.
And that's why I think in this sense, that's why someone like, say, Akira is definitely worried because she has not been high marks or whatever, or low marks, to where she kind of falls in the bottom. And when I'm noticing a familiar trend with her.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you about like the safe and fading. What I find interesting, and part of the reason that I put this image in here, is about the eyes on the spider thing. I never remember seeing them on the runway. So I didn't really spot that in the outfit. And yet here we are in Untucked. And I was like, oh, look at those little beady red glowing eyes. I don't remember that from the runway. I don't quite remember the red fan either. Like, it's just one of these oddity things where I'm like, we know that they run the runway two times at least, because once with music, once without, you know, and they're doing different angles and stuff. So I thought that was interesting, but I don't disagree with you at all about like the safe and fading thing. Like, but here's the thing. I think there's going to be 14 episodes or 15 this season. So right now is when being safe is, you need to change being safe. So like, I can understand how the girls are being a little grumpier stuff about it. And Nina's kind of like, I want to get the feedback. And, you know, Vanjie's kind of like, she wants praise. And Nina's like, no, like, I also want the criticism. I understand that, but there's a part of me that's like, girl, wait your time. Like, there's 15 of you bitches. You are still at 11, about to be 10. So we're just a third of the way through. Like, once you hit halfway, I fully expect you to be, like, chomping at the bit, as the saying goes, you know, to be at the top, you know, in the top third or whatever. So, yeah, that was a thing. I thought this was an interesting, touching moment in the Untucked. So Ariel and Suga don't need a sign. They understand fully, based on the judges' critiques, that they are the bottom two. There is no way around the fact that they are not the bottom two, based on how they get their feedback and are treated. I like the fact that Suga and, you know, Ariel talk. What I found interesting about it, though, is that Ariel was going through it. She was processing emotionally and was like word vomiting. It was like, blah, 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 like, it's just like kind of putting it out there. And Sugar's like, I know, girl, I love you. I love you, sis. I got to listen to the music. Like,
yeah,
she was like, she wasn't being mean to her, but at the same time, she was kind of like,
I want to listen to the song. I need to listen to this music. I'm about to be at the bottom. Like,
right. And I'm going to send your ass home. Like,
say, like, she wasn't saying like, leave me the fuck alone, but she was kind of like, I know I've heard that girl. Or that guy, where like it's short, to the point answers for the sake of, I need to focus on this.
Right.
I don't need to focus on you. So like, give me.
Not now. I'll come back to you later.
Yeah. I was so like.
And then, of course, we have to throw this wrench in and we have to do a video from home. First one of the season, and it happens to be for Sugarcane, which made me very nervous. Mm-hmm. Because usually when you see a video from home, there's a high tendency that the person who's going to watch the video to ask going home.
True.
So when I watch the regular show at Untucked, because I watch it not when it's live, I stop when we get to the girls go backstage. I then watch Untucked until the moment that Rue says, like, the girls' names that are in the bottom. And then I go back to watching the regular episode. Like, I try to watch it in time. Like, mm-hmm. Now I don't want to say real time, but in the course of how things really played out. So the fact that I didn't know for certain who went home yet, it hadn't been spoiled for me, and Sugar gets a video from home, I was like, oh boy, here we go. Like,
oh no.
Now, to be fair, everybody is almost in an ugly cry.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar's, like, man's video is very touching. What I was surprised by, though, is how most of the girls were really touched by it. Like, mm-hmm. that they were right there with Sugar, like, in the weeps.
Yeah. What I saw in the video and what I'm getting, so we never get his name, first off. We also find out that he was in military, either is or was, you know, mm-hmm. And that he took Sugar to, like, a ball or an event. Which was kind of like he wasn't sure about doing it, but he wanted to do it, and he did it anyway. And it was – and we don't know when exactly that was, blah, 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 blah. We then learn on top of all of that, so we find out, like, Sugar was able to quit her career to do drag full-time because of him, mm-hmm. or that he wanted her to or whatever. So it's just very much this whole, like, you're getting that emotional – financial, you know, whatever support from your guy, and it all kind of comes together in this very neat package of this of a person that you, for one reason or another, and I'm assuming just because military, blah blah blah, they couldn't really necessarily talk fully about it, because like I said, we don't get his name. We know he's her fiance, or I think fiance is the word they use. Mm-hmm. So it seems clear that while we get to see his face and we get to see, you know, that much of it, we don't get to know who he actually is.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. Like, so I was just really kind of touched and surprised by the ugly cry that the girls were starting to have. I just caught that Akiria took her drink umbrella and shoved it in her hair. Apparently, in the midst of butt tucking, girl got bored. nice. So, yeah, that was a thing, yeah. So to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to kind of give recognition to this moment. So, Plastique and Akiria both console and talk to Ariel because she's mm-hmm. kind of going through it. Yeah, and it gets worse after Sugar gets her video because everyone's very weepy about Sugar's man making the video and being all supportive. And Ariel didn't get that. So, and Ariel's already feeling like shit. So now she just goes down another level or two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she kind of walks away. I think Nina spots it. Like, so the girls know that she's not in a good headspace. And they also recognize that, like, you're going to be in trouble, girl. Like, you need to go out and lip sync and you need to kind of mm-hmm. get it together. So what I found interesting is Plastique and Akiria talking to Ariel. I felt it was very much what people would think about in terms of Miss Congeniality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are the yeah. queens that are being, you know, good to the rest of the girls? And I think Nina's kind of been a front runner because she's apparently being very paternal. In some ways, mm-hmm. like, they kind of make reference and joke and call her dad, but, like, you know, they look up to her because she's been doing drag for quite a long time. not to be shady, but, you know, and so,
fact
you know, right. I think they kind of recognize experience and that kind of stuff. And so, but I also noticed that, like, with Plastique and Akiria, I was thinking, I'm like, they're also kind of giving me that, like, pageant sisterhood, like aspect mm-hmm. of things where it's kind of like, girl, we understand, like this is a bad thing. This is not how you want it to go, but you got to pull your boots up, bitch, like, and put your game face on. So
yep.
It was a moment in Untucked that really kind of stood out to me, like, that I thought was a good one in that case. So that was Untucked, which gets us to this thing.
Two queens stand before me. Prior to tonight, you were asked to prepare a lip-sync performance of I'm Your Baby Tonight by the great Whitney Houston. Ladies, this is your last chance to impress me and save yourself from elimination. The time has come. Reach a lip sync for your life. Good luck, and for the love of Whitney Houston, don't fuck it up.
Okay, so I'm just going to, well, actually, I'll wait a minute to get my thoughts in because I just.
Okay.
So here we go.
First thing, they drop some coin.
Uh-huh.
We got a Whitney song.
So did.
Whitney ain't cheap. She probably more expensive than Cher, more expensive than Britney, more expensive, maybe more expensive than Madonna. I had to pause maybe. On that. Right.
We'll see.
Like, there's some divas out there that, like, they've had some songs from in the past. And the fact that it was a Whitney song, and I love that intro.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason why I was like, oh, I got to record that. Because I was like, Rue kind of puts it down, like, it's fucking Whitney, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up, girl.
Yeah. So it's,
shit up.
It's Sugar Cane versus Ariel. Two what the fucks when it comes to the looks, like on the runway, competing against each other. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah. So this is one of those songs that, like, it's kind of a staple in that, like, it's got a great beat. It's not a dance number. Like, it can be, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a leotard mm-hmm. number that you are going to just flail and throw yourself in high energy all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's got, like, a more kind of moderate kind of energy to it. It's also not a slow ballad. So correct. If you're going to stand and do a park and bark, you got to be careful about that because mm-hmm. you got to be able to emote to match the energy of the song. So
truth.
Like, you got to find that happy medium. And I was really intrigued by this because I was like, okay, for the most part, I kind of felt like lip syncing was okay. Like, literally lips syncing to the words.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting that Dita Ritz moment that,
this will be.
Yes. And, oh my god, it's left my head. Coco.
Uh-huh.
Montrese, when she points to her lips, because there's yep. a moment in it where Whitney just goes da 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 da, and I was like, girl, that's when you do that. Like, yes, it's like ripping off another queen, but if you're gonna make an impression in that moment and you're just gonna mm-hmm. rattle all that shit out, you should mm-hmm. execute it 1,000%. Like, to me, like yep. throwing yourself all around and the dips and the twirls and the splats and the death drops and da da da. Like, there's times for that, and then there's times for, like, focus on the thing in that moment. Now is not the time to twirl. Now is not the time to put your hand in front of your face. Like, there's just there's certain things to not do. Yeah, could you please remove your hand?
I'd like to keep it on, please.
Yeah, no. That's an A-day. So in the beginning uh-huh. of the song, I thought that, like, they were kind of delivering it. I also mm-hmm. predicted what happened because it was so obvious to me that somebody was not thinking about performing in their outfit.
No.
Yes. And this is no. the beginning of that moment. So Ariel's, like, skirt train fabric is a problem because it's touching the ground and it's a little bit long. And she keeps moving around and she's completely unaware of where its location is versus her feet and that stage. And I thought, she gonna step on it. She gonna step on it a lot. Because she's not tucking it up. Like, she didn't pick it up and tuck the fabric over her arm. She didn't scoop it up and, like, hold it in her fist. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was attached to her hand or nothing. Like, and I was like, oh, this is not good. So this is the beginning of the moment. She slips and she kind of stumbles forward. So she starts to regain her footing.
Then?
She doesn't.
Sorry.
Girl goes down.
I hate to laugh at this.
I know.
She went down.
She went down.
She went down. It wasn't quite the hard fall of Pheromone in
All Stars,
but it was definitely a ooh, ow.
It was close.
Shit.
Like, if Pheromone's fall was like a hard 9, Ariel's is probably about a 6.5 to 7. Like,
yeah.
She also
now
went down.
I almost thought about, like, oh shit, she's about to take out some of those lights. Like.
Just read Eric's live chat. Ariel's skirt. Can you please take it off, Ariel? I'd like to keep it on, please. Hence, Ariel trips. Such a mess.
Womp, womp,
but true. Womp. Yeah, Ariel, you know, she takes the dump. However, I have to hand it to her. She burrito rolls right over and keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a disaster. It's just unfortunate. And then she does admit, I think on the John Pauly podcast, I think she admits on that one. Yeah. When she talks to John Pauly on speakerphone, she says, actually, I fall a lot. So to me, it was no big deal. To which I was like, okay, girl, but that's not okay. Like, that's okay, but not okay. Like, the fact that you fall often maybe explains why you were able to just, like, kind of roll on over and continue to lip sync while sitting on the floor. Like, but
yeah, I do a lot of numbers on the floor because I always end up there.
Girl.
Oh,
Philip says in the live chat, she recovered? Kind of. Well, she got back up. She even pulled this out. Like, she got up, she moved around, and then there was a dramatic moment. Notably, the spotlight's on her. She, you know, falls, does the back bend thing. Sugar just keeps on going. Sugar does not park and bark, but she notably stays pretty much within 4 squares of the stage. Mostly 2. Like, she doesn't really move around a whole lot. So she decides to do more of that. Like, I'm not going to get crazy with the choreography. I'm just going to do a lot of hand gestures and movements and, you know, and kind of keep it within a field, so to speak.
Yeah.
Some people I've read online thought that Sugar knew the moment that Ariel fell that it was hers to win and therefore didn't, like, make any attempts to really go any further. I completely disagree with that. Now, I don't know, because I don't have that kind of memory, if any queen has ever fallen in a lip sync and won the lip sync. And by fallen, I mean actually fallen. Not a death drop. Not a shablam. You know what I mean?
Like an actual, like, whoops, fall, accident, splat thing.
And yet recovered and still won. I don't know if that's ever happened.
I can't, as I'm mentally, like, processing, like, hundreds of lip sync for your life.
Literally.
And legacies, like, trying to go through my head. I don't recall it.
Right.
But I could be totally wrong.
So, yes, from a statistical standpoint, it could be 0 to 100 or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is impossible to fall and to not go home. But still.
Yeah. So, are we ready for?
So, well, it's the final two. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. Damon.
So, my comment is, I almost thought we were going to have a double elimination. I was not impressed with these lip syncs. And then when Ariel fell, I was like, ooh, shit. Like, that too. Not that it clinched it for Sugar for me, but like when they started and about till Ariel fell, in my head, I'm like, this is not great. Like, right. This is not like I'm not getting like when, because the way RuPaul said, you know, for the love of, you know, Whitney Houston, for all, you know, like don't fuck it up. And I was like, okay, so she was looking for a lip sync.
Right.
And I didn't see that getting delivered. So I pretty much was like, we're about to have a double elimination in this game. And I was like, ooh, if we had a double elimination, I mean, no offense, this would have been a perfect opportunity because they weren't.
Right.
They both haven't been doing so great. And then to add on top of that, they didn't seem so awesome in this lip sync.
Right.
So,
I don't know if it would have been the right time for a double elimination, only because I get where you're coming from. I just feel like the times that it's happened in the past, times, I can't remember how many times.
Probably time.
That it was deservedly so. It was so, like, utterly failing, despicable, insulting, like the performance. Yeah. And that was not this case. I was like, nah, like, it's not spectacular. And the hard part is the last time we had a Whitney song, help me remember, Sasha Velour and Peppermint. Right?
No, we've done I thought we have. Did we do it one in season 10? Let me check my.
But that's what comes to mind when I hear a Whitney song, and I'm thinking I'm gonna get like a lip sync for your life.
Oh yeah, true.
Like the pinnacle of, like, you know, Whitney's kind of one of the women that, like, you're really gonna deliver on it, and that was not happening in this case. So I understand where you're coming from. That, like, Rue, like, the whole thing was kind of building up that it was gonna be this like drag-tastic, like jaw-dropping amazing, and that was not the case.
True. It was very odd. Sorry, I'm just looking really quick at season 10. No. This just says season 11, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Fuck. I'm trying to remember if there was a RuPaul, or not a RuPaul, a Whitney song in All Stars 4.
I don't know.
It's hard for me to say, but like in my head, I don't see it. I only see the Peppermint, the two Whitney songs in the season finale of season 9. But I feel like I've seen another one. Hmm. Bear with me one more moment, and I'll check All Stars.
As Philip says in the live chat, which I find interesting, is he says, as many girls that are in this season, you know there's a double elimination coming, which that may be true. Like, hell, I thought they were going to eliminate 6 out of 6 or 3 out of 6 or something. And that didn't happen.
Also very true. Like, there was a big part of me that when they put all 6 of them in the lip sync for your life a couple weeks ago, I was expecting more than one to go home to. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I said comparable, not legendary. And that was really like the overall thought about the lip sync for your life in this moment. Like, they were comparable to each other. Like, I didn't think one definitively outshined the other. I think one won by proxy merely because the other one took a shitter. That's
true.
That's just kind of the way I see it. Like, so, yeah, spoiler. Sugar gets to, you know, Shantae and stay, and Ariel has to sashay away. So
the last Whitney song was in, I knew it, was in All Stars season 4, episode 3. It was Manila and Trinity doing How Will I Know.
So you know, that's just it. Like, there's so much pressure, I think, on, you know, the singer, like, that you're going to be lip syncing to that it just expects to be a certain thing. So
yeah, agreed. I think there should have been, like I said, I was very much like, oh, there should have been, I was worried because I felt like there could have been a potential double just based on the way it went.
Right. So in this case, we have now eliminated our fifth queen. So now we're down to 10.
Oh, no.
We're a third of the way through. Officially.
Officially.
Yes. So out of who's left, I see two more, maybe three more as the next three to go. And then we kind of get into the heat of things.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see a couple of people that may be on their way out.
Yeah.
I can see who those three are.
Yeah. I think I think there are people, to borrow what you were saying before, not to give anything away, I think some people are fading. And like I was not surprised that Ariel was the next one to go. Because if I had to pick, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I was like, yeah, going to be, you know, gambling or whatever, I was going to say she's one of the ones that needs to go because she's just not at that level.
Yeah.
So, and the thing for me is like, also interestingly, I think of Ariel, like, and this is not fair to be comparative, but I think of her as like Layla McQueen,
Like
a talented girl who can serve a really good look, but at the time of the show was not where she needed to be.
True.
So if there's a future for her to come back in at like All-Stars 5 or 6, I'd be very intrigued to see what she delivers. Because yeah, I think she learned a lot from being on here. And hopefully it does light a fire under her that when she actually is performing and touring as a part of season 11 as a Rue girl, like that she really like kind of knocks it out and would give everybody mm-hmm. like reason to be supportive of her coming back for another chance.
Yeah. I'm so the thing that I dislike the most about Ariel is that a lot of her, she just kept in the same kind of look and silhouette. Big hair, big lips, big hips.
Right.
Like very similar, like hourglasses kind of figure. And it just never, after a while, it got kind of boring. Mm-hmm. Bright colors, pretty, like unicorn realness, whatever you want to call it. And it just, after a while, I got kind of over it. You know, if you probably took all of her looks, including the ones in this challenge, and put them in a line, you would see like a theme.
Right.
Which is great when you're, without being, not to sound shady, but if you're already established.
Right.
And could like keep the same thing going over and over and over again. But when you're now on a show where you have to kind of chameleon your way through for a little while.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so I definitely agree with you. Like, we'll see what's to come. The problem for me was she was so polished in some areas and just so not in others.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the part that I found difficult was, all right, so you can serve a look. It's a rather consistent cookie cutter look, but so you ready to move on to our last segment?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Come on, put the bass in your walk.
All right, snaps and eye rolls, a.k.a. hits and misses, the highs and lows of the episode. So, Damon, who are you giving snaps to?
So, I am giving a lot of my snaps to Miss Nina West this episode. I was loving not just her looks, the untucked, you know, kind of like reality check kind of thing really worked for me, but her looks for me just were just like, I loved it. I loved her Witch Please look. I loved the way what she did for her MILF, you know, look. The whole taking it, like, because that was, to me, that's, I loved I love the way that she took off the makeup, like the face, and like we had this like maw and whatever, and everything just kind of, oh, it was kudos to her. Kudos to her. First look, whatever. But like, in the grand scheme of things, she made up for it in this, those first two, other two looks. And my other like snap actually is for Brooke being on point during the runway for her trampy trick-or-treater thing, which I agreed should have been the MILF part, but whatever.
Right.
Whatever. It, I understand she's a dancer. We all know that that's part of her background. I just wasn't expecting it so soon.
Right.
So kudos to her for doing it. I hope she uses it sparingly.
Agreed.
Only because, like, it can't be a trope. It can't be a thing, a trick, a gimmick that you pull out every now and then.
Right.
It's got to be something that is part of it, that's needed, that's necessary.
Right.
So.
No, it's understandable. So I'll go into my snaps, because if there's anybody that, like, as a guest judge that I would be living for, it would be L fucking Vira.
Yes. Oh, I love her to death. She loves me to death.
Candace is amazing. And like Nina said in Untucked, she looks crazy good. Like,
yes.
She does not look like she's aged. She has admitted to plastic surgery. Girl, it was worth every penny that you spent. You have been ageless and flawless all these years.
And that's so weird to me. Like, I know it's the same person. We all know it's the same person, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make sense. It's been 30, 40 years.
Right.
It don't make no sense.
Right.
Like
but it goes to show, if you take care of yourself and you got the money, you could look ageless, like literally.
In a good way.
Now, I do want to give recognition to this. I was living for this moment when she walked the runway in this outfit and she shook her bazungas with these spider tassels in this, like, this overlay fabric, because this is notably not what she is wearing for the rest of the episode. It is not what she wears at the judges' table. It is also not what she wears in Untucked. I think Elvira was censored.
Oh.
I think this is the most they would allow on television for her to show off that much of her chest. Because, granted, it's an illusion. It's a nude illusion over the breasts. But I have a feeling they were worried about censorship. And so they asked her to wear her more traditional garb versus this.
And I will be mad. I'm kind of a little mad because either this was too early in the episode that I missed it. So just so everyone's aware. So I have live TV, but I have it as internet. It's an internet provided TV service. I use Sling. And we've been of late, especially like later in the evening when shows are popular, I've been noticing our feed stops and then restarts like a little bit later. I missed this. I never saw this look at all. So I'm hoping that it was one of those like gaps that I have.
It goes by really fast. It's when it's revealed that Elvira's one of the two judges. And it's either in the very beginning of the episode or it's when Rue... You know,
it's usually in the beginning where they like extra special guest judge and Elvira.
Right.
And so it's probably one of those where it was probably then and either. If I'm remembering on Thursday, I think we had a gap after the they start the music for RuPaul's Drag Race. So it's entirely possible that it was just dropped out, whatever.
Right.
But still, I wonder also if that was a censored thing. This is definitely not what she's known for. And it could have just been, again, to put on the other spin on it, is that we don't want you to wear something different.
Right. I mean, maybe the production staff did say to her, you're known for a classic Elvira look, and while this is sexy and hot and fun,
mm-hmm.
if you have your traditional black, you know, neckline plunged gown, that would be preferred. So maybe it was a mediation between the parties, and so she agreed to wear that for when she's, you know, going backstage, quote unquote, and when she is, you know, on the judges panel. But this particular look, I was not ready for it. I was also living for it, because I was like, okay, let's just put the girls out on display and just kind of, you know, jiggle them all around and make the tassel things work. And you go, girl. Yeah, exactly. So L fucking Vira was my snaps, because I just, could not believe that that was, you know, a thing.
And in that case, of the episodes to bring her in, this was the best one to bring her in.
Oh, yeah. By far. Like, I don't know who else they would have brought in.
I don't know what I mean.
Like, if
they brought the quote unquote enchantress, but
not the same thing. Like, I mean, who else do you think epitomizes spooky and glamour fashion? Like,
Sherry Needles.
Oh. I'm still waiting for that season, girl, when they bring the old queens back. And I don't mean old, like, to be an asshole. I mean, like, prior queens to be on the judges panel.
Uh huh.
Still waiting for that. That's probably like the All-Stars season. I don't know. So we'll see. Damon, eye rolls?
Eye rolls?
I know you've been like teasing at this whole episode.
Okay. So I'm teasing this, like I said, we're teasing this all for all this episode. I am booting, eye rolling Akira's looks. Obviously, as I mentioned before, her cocktail waitress, dealer, whatever, was so forgettable for me that I forgot. And then her two other looks this episode just did not wow me. And her comments in the Untucked about fading and being safe and worrying about fading, well, it's happening. Your looks look too similar to me. While there was a change in hair color, that was about it. The silhouette was the same, and I'm worried because I'm seeing a lot of the same kind of silhouettes from you.
Right.
On top of that, you knocked it kind of out of the park in the first episode, and I think it's been mentioned a couple of times, like, not really seeing you do much else since then. So my concern is, I love her. I think she's a great queen. We've seen her in a couple of things I've been a fan of. But this is becoming a theme for me, and you're starting to become forgettable.
Right.
So I'm worried. I think you're in danger. And while I like you, we might be losing another Davenport.
Right. I don't disagree with you. She's one of my three that I think is now, like, next to go if she doesn't pull it out somehow. Mm-hmm. So my eye rolls, I felt very passionately about this when I watched the episode. I still kind of feel this way, even though I recognize it was not like spot on for every part of the maxi challenge. I think Nina was ranked wrong.
Mm.
I didn't like her being safe.
Mm.
I think she should have been top four.
Okay.
I think Brooklyn and Plastique notably were the top two. Like, I can't really argue that because they really like did really well in what they were executing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nina also did really fucking well in what she executed. But when you break it down and you talk about the categories, the Little Shop of Horrors thing for the first category, I could see how that wasn't quite trampy. I can also see how in her third one, it wasn't necessarily a monster you'd like to freak as opposed to run away from. So, like, I can grant that she wasn't nailing it 100% on each round, but that's what bothered me. I was like, I don't know Nina, but I really feel like I'm getting to know Nina now. And that bothers me all the more. That's why I said I think pretty wins as opposed to being unique or odd.
Yeah.
And the fact that Evie Oddly was like part of the rank of the top because she screwed up in the last round versus the first two, I was like, what about Nina? like to me, I would have preferred that. Like, because I think now I understand where Nina's getting grouchy about, I want the feedback. Because what she doesn't know is what was wrong with my looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm safe. I'm not winning. Like, or I'm not on the top. So what's wrong with my looks? And that's what we missed, is we didn't really get anything about to her about, like, where maybe the first one was too costumey. Maybe, the second one was too, like, theatrical, as opposed to, like, dramatically, drag enough. Yeah. I don't know. Like, this is where I think, like, maybe the reason why she's good in the middle is because the judges panel is having a hard time internally, like, letting her be in the top, because they're not seeing her at the same level as some of these other girls.
Mm-hmm.
So, my hope is that, girl, you can stay safe for a couple more weeks. We aren't halfway yet,
Yeah.
So
I'm not disagreeing with you. I think there is definitely a choice that was made in regards to these two girls doing, like, to me, Evie and Nina were kind of on the same level. You know, we got a couple of camp moments. You got the Venus, the Audrey 2 moment, and the, like, dinosaur, whatever. So you got the camp factor. You got a fun take on a witch kind of thing going on a second one. And then you got a very odd, like, mishmash of, like, monster I like to fuck, maybe, kind of, I don't know, kind of thing.
Yeah. So it was definitely one of those things that I feel like, maybe that should have been done differently.
And I think where Nina succeeds where Evie failed was the design of her Monster I Like to Freak challenge. Look, it looked actually well made as far as I could tell. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm a big fan of the gimmicky, like, pulling the mask off part of it, and I think that added to it. So I agree with you in that sense. Like, if you put, like, Evie and Nina next to each other and you kind of compare them apples, outfit to outfit, like, it's very easy to kind of, to me, I would say, like, oh, well, maybe Evie should have been safe and Nina should have been in the top.
Right. Okay. So it's not officially in the docket, although some people like that I have a thing now that I keep doing this. So let's talk about the faces of Nina, shall we?
Sure.
There's not as many this week, but there's a lovely, tender moment between her and Silky in the beginning of the episode.
Uh-huh.
And then the fact that Silky gets all serious about the smooch and kind of wants to go in for the kill.
Yeah.
This is the moment where I think she bit off more than she could chew. Nina was not ready for this.
I don't think he was ready for Silky's jelly.
Yeah. No. So I just, God bless Nina. She has these, like, amazing faces, and this is one of them that I honestly was a huge fan of. It was after the reveal, this is actually judges critiques when they're standing side by side, but I really liked it, although it did kind of crack me up because there was a comment, I think it was Ross or somebody said something about girl, like, your lipstick's a mess or something.
Could you just, there, perfect, there,
yeah,
you go,
exactly. Just got a little something on your face. So yeah, no, I was happy with it. So definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, and then of course Nina's disbelief in confessional. She is the drag queen of 1,000 faces this season.
Go, Nina, drag queen of 1,000 faces. Nina West, drag queen of 1,000 faces. Are maybe not Nina, like, but like, oh, I forget his real name. Ah, whatever. You know what I mean.
So, have you seen the t-shirt, the Nina fucking West t-shirts?
No.
Yes, it's Nina And I think it's literally F-U-C-K-I-N-G-W-E-S-T. But there's also a censored version of it. Cracks me up to no end. I was like, it's like Latrice motherfucking Royale. Like, it's become nice. A thing. I'm really pleased with it. So, yay.
Yay. Thanks.
Yeah, definitely. So, that's it, kittens. It's been another 2 hour plus episode because we still got 10 fucking bitches to go through next week. For those of you that would like to let us know what you think of our thoughts, you can go to our blog, which is cubsoutloud.com. You can make a comment there. You can send us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com, or you can actually leave us a voicemail message. We'd be happy to play it in the episode for you. That number to call is 361-COL. Talk, T-A-L-K, otherwise known as 361-265-8255. On the social media, pretty much type in just Cubs Out Loud as one word, and you'll be able to see some stuff that we got going on there. If you would like to join our Entourage social chat, where we go back and forth in our personal thoughts with our audience about the COL Drag Race episode and what we are discussing. We have now reached that time on Sunday night, now that we've done the show, that the curfew is listed, the band, so to speak, and people can start expressing their ideas of what we thought and they thought. Also, if you want to be supportive of us, you can go to Zazzle.com/CubsOutLoud for merch. You could also become a patron at patreon.com/CubsOutLoud like Eric did.
Hi, Eric.
Most recent. Hey. So thank you for doing that. if you would like to help promote COL on iTunes, you can rate us. You can subscribe on Google Play Podcasts. Give us a thumbs up, like 5-star, all that jazz. It helps so people are kind of aware of us. And then, obviously, as those of you that are watching us on YouTube, you could, you know, like it, subscribe, that kind of thing. We appreciate it. David, if people want to get in touch with you, where would they find you at?
If you wish to get in touch with me, and you know you want to, you can always go. You can find me as TheaterCub79 on Facebook, Tumblr, et cetera, other bear sites. Or you can find me as Pup_Umbra on the Twitters. And Gary, how about you?
I could pretty much be found anywhere online as Garbear73. That's GARBEAR73. And with that, it's time to take a little trip to the moon.